Virginia and France-based photographer Sarah Hazelgrove has a new exhibit opening at Roanoke's Taubman Museum. It's a collection called Tobacco People. For many, it may be a very different view of the tobacco world, as this exhibit culminates a four-year international journey around the rapidly disappearing world of tobacco cultivation. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I think what may be surprising to many people is that this really looks at those making their living farming tobacco outside of what we here in Virginia would consider the tobacco belt. You visited Malawi, Indonesia, Brazil, Cuba. Before we make our way around the world with this, can you start at the beginning and what led you to this project?
Actually, it's a family story. We grew tobacco for over 200 years on our farm, which is in between Farmville and Cumberland, Virginia. And at the end of that, the tobacco growing era at our farm, I was taking photographs really for my father as a gift to kind of document everything on the farm, from cows' udders to the portraits of the people that worked down there. And tobacco cultivation was part of what was going on at the farm at that time. And a couple of years later, when we had really stopped growing tobacco, those particular photographs seem so nostalgic in a way that even with me, it resonated in a kind of sort of in a bittersweet way, because tobacco cultivation for this part of the country, actually all up and down the East Coast from the Connecticut River Valley to North Carolina, even as far as Louisiana, is and was a huge part of the beginning of this nation, how we survived early on as a country. And there was just so much for me that was wrapped up in these last images of basically the end of something that was such a huge part of our family's lives and lives of so many people in this area.
What led you to decide to take a global approach?
Well, at that time, the Taubman had approached me to have a show on tobacco people, and this was almost 3.5-4 years ago. It wasn't just a local story, that it was a worldwide story, and the number of emerging countries that depend on tobacco cultivation for their economic well-being is enormous. Over 100 million people hold tobacco-related jobs in the world. And when you look at, for example, the way that tobacco is growing in Malawi or Brazil or Indonesia, families surviving on less than 2 acres of land, and tobacco being that cash crop like it was back in the 1700s in our country, and you see this sort of these parallel universes of families going through the same struggles as our nation went through 200, 300 years ago, and you see it happening now. It's an exciting sort of subject matter to study and to develop, because there's so much material there.
What are the most striking similarities and differences you found from the way you perceive tobacco farming and then what you found around the world?
It is as much about the history of tobacco worldwide that continues to fascinate me and pull me back out into the fields and back into the homes of these families. The story of tobacco when it comes to how families survive is very repetitive. It's the same, pretty much the same story from one family to the next. People are struggling. Tobacco provides cash. They can put their kids to school, put clothes on their bodies. There's enough money to buy seeds for food growing, food crops. It's just an example of just basic survival for these families.
Did you see many, differing techniques in, one part of the world that you would think, I don't think the other part of the world is grasping that everybody's getting to the same end result, but using different techniques in the harvesting?
It is still, of all the crops out there in the world, it is still probably the single most difficult crop to grow, and it is a hands-on crop still after all these centuries. Now, in the United States, where there are much larger commercial operations where some of the large machinery are computer operated, it is still a seed into the soil, from the soil, the seedling being planted, and it's still almost all done by hand as far as the harvesting. The majority of the people in the world today harvest tobacco by hand.
I've read in some of the promotional material for the exhibit that you approach this in a non-judgmental way. Why that qualifier?
Well, I think it goes without saying that tobacco and the tobacco industry and smoking, it's a subject matter that is so toxic to so many people that for me, looking at it objectively, looking sort of beyond the smoke, as it were, allows a different point of view. It allows people to concentrate on the farming families, the communities where tobacco is grown and where it is a positive force in lots of people's lives. And we don't see that. And we are actually inhibited from seeing it by the anti-tobacco legislation, people that are very anti-tobacco in general. And so for me, having come from a family that had tobacco grown in the fields and from farming, not my immediate family, but at least our family, we have a farm that's been in our family for centuries. I just thought, you know, it's like sharks. It's about time tobacco and, you know, farmers got their due. And, you know, you learn stuff about a shark and you go, wow, they're kind of interesting, aren't they?
Well, was the perception the same around the world that you saw, that you see here?
As far as tobacco is concerned?
Right.
You know, it's funny. You would think that I would have people questioning what I'm doing with a bit of an edge, kind of an anti-tobacco edge to it. And it's actually been quite the opposite. Anytime I talk about my project, I get these amazing stories of people like, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I can remember. And I'm putting that in paraphrasing because a kid in the tobacco fields, that's another thing that is quite volatile right now. There's a thing called the elimination of children in tobacco. And they are very, very careful about trying to make sure that no kids of a particular age are in the fields. And when I talk about my project, it actually is more of a moment where people who you would never think in a million years, they'll come to me and say, oh, you know what? I remember priming tobacco when I was a kid. And I said, well, how old were you? Oh, well, I can remember my grandfather used to stick us at the end of the row. Mom and dad and my cousins, they'd be working down the row. And then they would come and they'd check on me and make sure that me and my brothers were okay. And these are people from all walks of life, people that come from well-to-do families as well as people that are poor. And tobacco is that one thread that connects them. And it is something that connects people all over the world in a very similar manner. And so, at least for me, it's been nothing but positive.
Let's bring artist Brian Sivaking into the conversation. He's the curator of this project. Brian, what attracted you to work with the project?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're very fine photographs. I mean, they're first-rate examples of photography. I'm very interested in art that has narrative and that has not only figures, but also human content to it. And this project, I really liked it because it was all about the people in the fields, the people at sort of a base production level. And I'm also interested in art that deals with and records history. And tobacco is so ingrained in American history and colonial history and the history of the world over the last really four centuries that I think it's important someone is recording the way that it's changing and even disappearing.
Well, Sarah, I've read that you have come to practice what you've called special forces photography. What's that term mean in relation to your art?
Well, you have to move kind of quickly when you have a limited amount of time in each country. And special forces is probably kind of gives people the wrong idea. But I would have sometimes less than an hour to get in and sort of assess a family's farm to see, number one, if the family farm was a viable farm, you know, one that I thought would be a good subject matter. And you learn over time as a photographer, you can assess a situation pretty quickly. But even under the best of circumstances, the first visit that I would have at a farm, I would only be able to stay for about an hour, maybe less. The way that I worked, though, during these years of recording tobacco, I had a second trip. The first trip, I kind of assessed the families, the ones that I was introduced to or the ones that I met along the way. And the second trip, I would go back and spend a little bit more time with them. Keep in mind that I was doing video as well as photos, as well as with a medium format camera, which I shot all the black and white. So I was shooting three different ways each time I was going to a place. So I really was just loading it up as quickly and as carefully as I could. But I mean, it was kind of crazy.
Working with interpreters along the way, I assume?
Yes. I speak pretty decent Spanish, which really was very useful. In fact, right now, the tobacco farms here in Virginia that I follow, they have quite a number of H-2A foreign laborers that come from Mexico every year between 6 and 10 months each season. And it's been great so that I can communicate with these Mexican laborers who pretty much make up the family now. It's become a family of extended family sort of with Mexican laborers rather than the children of the farmers that have taken over the farm. It's an interesting shift.
And from what I understand, this exhibit is actually part of a broader project, even, with several other museums related to farming.
There are three exhibits. There's one at the O. Winston Link Museum, which was a natural because O. Winston Link was a great photographer, and they specialize in photography and have done a series of shows by other photographers. And then there's also a show at the Harrison Museum of African American History, which fits in very well, too, because not only African Americans, but Africans and people of color around the world have been intimately involved in the cultivation and the production of tobacco for centuries in both positive and very negative ways as well. I think that the whole issue of mystery is kind of an interesting topic to address. The show at the O. Winston Link is very much about tobacco in Virginia, both its past and its present. And the show at the Harrison is very much about, you know, tobacco's history with Africa in particular, but Africa and Latin America, the Americas, North and South America, and the Caribbean. And then the show at the Taubman is an art show. I mean, it's about the quality of Sarah's imagery and the quality of her project. But it's also very much about presenting certain aspects of tobacco production, not really smoking, but the factories where it's made, the product itself. There's a giant roll of tobacco. There's a huge tobacco press, the 300-year-old tobacco press from South America. And the objects, the trick is to sort of present the objects in a way that they can be these kind of mysterious objects that people can sort of expand upon in their minds and also have some explanation there. And the hardest thing in curating the show, both for me and the other people at the Taubman, was balancing that. How do you present an object in a way that it has almost this mystical presence and then also somewhere have an explanation of it that's very concrete and very exacting? And how do you let people have both of those experiences?
There's a couple of things that I would like to say about the three exhibits as a whole. The work at the Taubman is, and the objects at the Taubman, I think will be fascinating to people, even people that know about tobacco. The rolled tobacco and rope tobacco that's on exhibit, as well as a tobacco press from Brazil that was brought up especially for this exhibit, thanks to a friend of mine in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Fritz Bossert. These objects, which are in themselves, they're works of art.
I was wondering, when you were out in the field, in so many different fields, was it a tactile experience for you?
You can't get in a tobacco field without leaving with some tobacco on you. It's a very sticky plant. From all the different countries that I went to, from the Amazon River Basin, where I saw firsthand probably the way that tobacco initially was cured and preserved, smoked every bit of whatever I was. I mean, I'm not a smoker, but I tried everything just to sort of get an idea of the different qualities of tobacco. So I would say that it was definitely a very tactile, very sensorial experience on every level.
And we talked, extensively about sort of the history with this, but what about the future? Do you have a unique perspective on the future of tobacco after making these global connections?
Throughout the centuries, whether it was the Catholic Church beheading people for smoking, the flip side of that is that kids were made to smoke during the plague because the only people that were surviving during the plague were the people that were smoking or the tobacco shop owners. What's going on right now with tobacco is just like 2 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago. And tobacco, I think, will always be around. It's so much a part of this kind of curious thing that mankind wants to have, to give form to the breath. By smoking, you see your breath. And that's a mysterious thing. We all live, we breathe in and out. And smoking is the only way that we can see that magical breath that we bring into our lungs. Sadly, it's not good for you, so don't take this as a plug for you to go out and light up a cigarette. But it is a mysterious sort of connection I think we as humans have towards smoke.
Do you expect flack for this?
You know what? I welcome whatever anybody wants to say, if it's done in an intelligent manner. I'm not out there promoting tobacco smoking. I like to look at it as an anthropologist more than somebody that is, I would say, probably more from an anthropological and historical level than I would even say from an artistic level. I don't consider myself an artist on that level. I just see myself as somebody that respects the history of this plant and the people that grow it that are trying to make ends meet. And I find it so fascinating that I could see myself doing this for the rest of my life.
Thanks very much for joining us, Sarah Hazelgrove and Brian Sievaking. The exhibit, Tobacco People, runs through the end of March at the Taubman Museum in downtown Roanoke. Exhibits open at the O. Winston Link Museum and the Harrison Museum of African American Culture October 17th.